It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This, indeed, is Saturday Suckage. I suck so you don't have to. And apparently I did when I was talking about springing forward, moving your clock forward. The 252 texter. Where's 252? Where's that? Where's that area code? 252 texter says, there will be no 2 in the morning tomorrow from 1:59 to 3 o'clock. Yeah, that makes total sense. I suck so you don't have to. This broadcast news. 670 The Score is giving you and a guest an exclusive opportunity to be in Texas for the Cubs season opener. Be listening for the cue to call on Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, and Parkins and Spiegel every day next week for your chance to qualify for the Cubs season opener flyaway, which includes airfare, hotel, and 2 tickets to the game on March 28th. Once you qualify, you'll need to be listening to Parkins and Spiegel when they announce the winner at 5 p.m. on Friday, March 15th. The winner will then have 30 minutes to call in and claim the prize. It's the Cubs season opener flyaway exclusively right here on The Score. Go to their opening day in Texas. Wow. Yeah. Hub Arkish is my guest. Hub Arkish is here to talk about the Cubs. Your favorite opening day, Hub. Your favorite opening day memory. Give me your Cubs thought, the snapshot when you hear Cubs opening day.
Oh, gosh. I've been thinking football for the last 10 minutes here. Going back to so many great opening days. You know, it's funny because opening day in baseball, usually the weather is not cooperative. You have no idea what you've got. Yeah. You know, it's just more about getting back to baseball than really knowing about the team or the importance of the game or whatever. But I think, opening against in Texas is probably cool. And, I think this year is particularly exciting because of the way last year ended. I know a lot of people would be happier if they had done more so far this off season, although I think they have done what they had to. And Steve, I can't escape the feeling that there's one more big move coming. Not a huge move, but I think there's one more significant move coming before the season starts.
Well, they made an announcement today. Justin Steele, as expected, will be the opening day pitcher. So he's that guy you'd be seeing if you enter the scores and win the scores contest. And I think so, too. There are pitchers hanging out there. Those free agent pitchers are guys who make you, you're already the favorite in the division. They make you odds on. They make you a significant playoff team. Jordan Montgomery, why? Pay him. Bring him in. There you go. Like, nobody else gets him that way.
You know, there's no question about it. I think people just have given up or forgotten who Marcus Stroman was until the middle of the season, and how important a part of that starting the rebuild, not the rebuild, but starting to improve was. And now he's gone, and they haven't really replaced him with who the obvious replacement is. Yeah, I know they've added a couple of pitchers, but they're not number ones, And I think if they got that, people would feel a lot better. If they take a chance on some of the young talent they've got at pitching, and they could be fine right now. The other thing, obviously, is to make some final decisions on third base. I think the first base decision is made at this point because Bellinger can go either place. But third base is what they've got to figure out. And there's still, a couple of big bats out there, pretty good defenders. And my suspicion is that they're waiting just a few more days or this week to know exactly what they've got there right now before they decide if they want to go for, $25-30 million for a couple of years for a veteran third baseman.
I have two. From L.A., I have an opening day memory. I was there when Tommy Lasorda was managing his first game, and as promised, Frank Sinatra said, if you become Dodger manager, I'll sing the national anthem. And he walks out in center field, and his voice cracked near the end of the national anthem. So that's my opening day highlight in L.A. And here, I remember Mark Grace, and you talk about cold weather, 35 degrees. I think that was the air temperature, and then there was a wind chill. And he's facing Trevor Hoffman. And somehow he stuck a bat out there and drove a ball down the left field line, and the Cubs won. And they beat Trevor Hoffman. And I'm not sure Mark Grace's hands warmed up until the 2001 World Series. So those are my opening day memories. But that's not why you called. He's up, Arkish.
I was just going to say, the other thing you got to realize, There's 162 games. You know, football, there's 17 games, you know. It's easy to get really excited about every one, you know. Even with the Bulls and the Hawks, you know, it's half as much. But there's just the season is so long, you know, that the great thing about opening day is just that it's back. You know, it's not to me anything particularly special about that game. But, you know, it'll be fun this year like it is every year.
Habarkash joins me on the guest hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. He is the executive editor of Pro Football Weekly and part of the Pro Football Weekly podcast with Dan Hampton and Dave Wanstead. Go to Patreon to get your Pro Football Weekly podcast. And Hub also is the NFL insider for 670 The Score. So among the inside stuff, the stuff that's going on as we anticipate the legal tampering period, which means we're in the illegal tampering period, because I'm sure teams are tampering. The Bears hosted a largely Tennessee safety, but Eagle safety most recently, Kevin Byard, and they're in the market for that. Safeties, like cornerbacks get paid, safeties get cut, safeties have become the running backs of the defensive side of the ball. What do you make of this? This is going to be a parade of safeties. What do you think of Byard? What do you think of the safeties available for the Bears and in the a scheme fit for them?
You know, I think what I'm witnessing at this point, Steve, is that I think they're pretty comfortable with where they're at cornerback. I think they feel that they have depth and talent there. And so I think that they're more likely to go for, you know, some of these, you know, dependable veterans, and they'll sign a free agent maybe too, and they'll probably draft one. But the way that Eberflus plays his defense, I just don't think that they believe it's as critical. It's important, obviously, but not quite as critical as the cornerbacks. And I think they feel really good about where they're at cornerback and linebacker, and so they're willing to take a few chances on some, you know, good but not great veteran players possibly coming in to fill that safety spot.
Hub Barker is my guest, NFL insider for The Score. We're talking Bears football and talking free agency here. And the idea of free agency, if you're Ryan Poles and you seem intent on trading Justin Fields and wanting to do right by him, as you said, which may come back to an honest comment that may come back to haunt you or hamper you. So if you are on the eve, do you feel urgency to make a deal for Justin Fields now before everybody gets a shot at quarterbacks and it's only cost them money and not draft capital? Or is Ryan Poles at the point where he's just stuck floating the market until after the wave of quarterback signs and then you see in playing musical quarterback who doesn't have one?
Yeah, I really think, Steve, that people, I've been saying this so much as we talk every Saturday, you just got to find some patience because it's still so early with this. And at the end of the day, you know, everybody wants to know what's going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just too soon. You don't know yet. And, you know, it really, I think they've been surprised, shouldn't be because we've been hearing it for a month, but they've been surprised that the market for Fields is a little less valuable, you know, than they thought it was. I'm sure there was hope. They gave up 2 ones to get him. There was hope to getting 1-1 back. That wasn't going to happen. There's been hope to get a 2. A lot of people are saying now maybe the best they can get is a 3. Now, most of these people talking, you know, just like me, don't necessarily know what we're saying. We're just evaluating what we're hearing. But at the end of the day, I believe what Poles started at a week ago Tuesday, when the very first thing he said was, we haven't made any final decisions yet. There was no way they could going into the combine, even coming out of the combine. Now they just get to the point where they can do the important stuff. They can do the pro days, you know, with these guys. They can bring them in one at a time and really start to evaluate them. I think they know where Justin Fields is at. I think they are going to get another quarterback. But I think that, you know, Poles is probably a little frustrated right now that the market for Fields isn't bigger than it is. And I think you're right. It's going to get a little bit bigger once the top 2 or 3 veterans sign in free agency. And until then, you know, people just have to continue to be patient. And then there's this craziness where, everybody is saying they've decided on Williams. They have not decided on Williams. Now, I think they're probably leaning that way. I think that it would certainly be a quality pick if they kept it and made it. I just don't think it's the best thing for them in their rebuild. And I think what Ryan Poles knows is that this is the pivotal time of this rebuild. You know, last year was successful, but this is the year where they have to become a playoff team. And so I think, you know, that's what he's looking at right now. And I think he'd like it to be over. He'd like to know what his roster is. He'd like it to be, you know, September 1st and the season starting, but, you know, you got to do the work to get there, and that's what they're doing right now.
Hub Arkus is my guest, NFL insider for The Score, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly. We're talking Bears here on The Score. The Eagles have, through a report from NFL Network, the Eagles are taking trade calls or making them for defensive end Josh Sweat and edge rusher Hassan Reddick. Ryan Poles needs to, and he's a guy who likes to pile up, especially the quantity of draft picks near the end, so second and third day stuff. But I don't know, given the fact that he traded a second rounder for Montez Sweat, does he trade for the other Sweat? Do you see the Bears playing this game with the Eagles? Does this matter? And does this help them in any ways if somebody else goes to get these defensive linemen that Philadelphia is offering?
You know, Steve, when you consider nobody is debating that the Bears started a complete rebuild a year and a half or two ago. And in doing that, you don't want to rebuild old. You know, you don't want to rebuild with late 20s, early 30s veterans. And so I'm not real high on that idea. I think that, you know, Poles has had a couple decent drafts so far. I think he's shown that he can draft good football players. I'd like to see this team add as much young, potentially special talent as they can, as opposed to going to some of these veterans who, you know, when you look at what happens in free agency, as often as not, they've already played their best football. And you know, they may not play that well again once they get $100 million or, you know, whatever it is, $70 million. So, you know, you've heard it consistently, and I'm not going to change until we get to the 27th or 28th, whatever the first day in April of the draft is. I think the Bears, you know, trade the number one pick, pile up as much value as they can in picks and assets. They could be set for the next two or three drafts. And my sense from what we've seen from Poles in the first 2 years is that's kind of the way he thinks. But we just don't know right now because they have so many options and everybody's focused on them and everybody wants to know what they're going to do next.
He comes from a team most recently that showed you the value of that guy, that quarterback. They just keep collecting rings. And you're saying you see the Bears trading that pick because obviously the Bears would have arrived at, Poles would have arrived at that conclusion that there's not a generational quarterback here. Is that the subtext? Is that the part I need to mention, because trading when there might be that guy there is, that's a rough way to go. That'll cost you your job.
You're right, Steve, and I agree with you, but my concern about Williams is not that he's not a generational quarterback. He has shown the athletic and physical, you know, skills to do that, but, you know, we've talked about this again. 85-90% of these guys fail, you know, and there's no reason to assume that he's the one who can't fail. So, you know, I think he could be a generational quarterback. There's no question about that. There are some concerns about him and his family off the field. They don't bother me so much as it just troubles me that's where their focus is. They obviously know this kid's going to be the number one pick. They know he can name, you know, certain things that he wants and he's going to get them. But I don't think that's good on an NFL team. I don't think that's good on a 53 or a 45 man roster. And that's what concerns me a little bit about him. That and the fact that he didn't play in his best football in the five biggest games of his last year, you know, and your franchise guy has to do that. Those are the only negatives. They're not negatives. They're the only concerns that I can mention. If they take him at number one, they're doing what the majority of NFL experts believe they should. They're taking what looks to be the next franchise quarterback at number one and saying, we fixed that. Now it makes it easier to fix everything else. So that's the flip side of what I've been saying. And it's not a wrong option. It's not my favorite option, but I think the leaning amongst, you know, both the experts and the fans is in the other direction. What I'm hearing from most is that they think that they should take Williams. That there, you know, aren't guys that come off and that are that close to being the sure thing, and that, you know, it wouldn't be the worst way to go. And it also, you can't ignore the fact they've also got pick number 9, you know, so they've got the ability to go ahead and take Williams and still add up, you know, some assets by trading pick number 9 and trading Justin Fields. So that's what's so exciting about what's going on with them right now, is that they have a chance to make as big or a bigger turn this year than the Packers did last year, if they get this right. And, you know, they've got another month and a half to sort that out.
Mark Grody, who hosts On the Clock Fridays at 6 o'clock here on The Score, was talking with Brian Baldinger. And while you're talking about trading down from number 9, Baldinger had suggested the Bears trade up. Dane Brugler, I think, had a mock draft. The Bears trade up to 5 to get Rome Odunze. And Baldinger had said he believes he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr. as a pass catcher, given the different skills he has. So there's the polarity we're talking about. Have you looked at receivers enough to rank them? What do you think of Odunze?
Yeah, I like Odunze a lot, Steve, but there's very few things that I'm absolutely sure of. But the one thing that I'm not going to change between now and day one of the draft, Marvin, the Ohio State wide receiver, is the best player in this draft. To me, it's that easy. He is number one. Now, would I take him ahead of Williams? Probably not, because it's so much harder to find that franchise quarterback. But I do believe that he is the best player in this draft. And I wouldn't be unhappy if the Bears ended up with Odunze. There could be 7 wide receivers taken in the first round. The position is that deep. And you can debate about all of them. And then you can look at where some of these guys have come from in the last year or two, in the 5th round, the 3rd round, and they've become all pros. So, you know, there's no getting married to one guy. But with Odunze or Harris, either way, you know, I think if they add that to DJ Moore with their new number one quarterback, they've done a ton of good work for that offense.
If past is prologue, Hub Arkers is my guest, NFL insider for The Score. We're talking Bears here on Saturday Suckage. If past is prologue with what you've seen of Ryan Poles and what you imagine the way he would Lego his way to this rebuild, what will he do when free agency opens?
You know, I'm not looking for any big signings. I've heard other people, you know, besides you, mention that, you know, there's no question that in free agency, the defensive front, the line, that there are some pass rushers, there are 3 techniques, you know, but I just don't see that as the place to focus. You know, I think you got to continue to try and draft excellent young talent. And, you know, you look at what they got last year with Tyreek Stevenson, with getting the right tackle. It's, you know, that's why we're feeling better about where the team is at right now. And I think that's the way you continue to build your roster, if you want to not only contend, but contend every year for 3, 4, 5 years. You know, I think that's the way you build the roster. And so I don't expect them to make any huge moves in free agency. I think they're doing more like maybe looking for somebody else to compete as starting center. You know, you certainly could take, they're going to probably take a safety to have bodies, you know, but big moves in free agency, that to me doesn't feel like the way Poles would go.
Well, we'll see. Legal tampering starts Monday, and legal season, the NFL season, opens on Wednesday, and there expect to be lots of fireworks, and we'll watch musical quarterbacks. Hub, thanks for your time. Interesting as always. Thank you.
Always fun, Steve. Talk to you next week. Take care.
All right. That's Hub Arkers, senior NFL insider for The Score and executive editor of Pro Football Weekly and the Pro Football Weekly podcast with Hall of Famer Dan Hampton and former Bears coach Dave Wants. He's got a podcast. Wani. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the WB Club, we bring you this a little earlier than usual, but the WB Club, there's a job opportunity out there. We always want to talk to you about your future in the WB Club, and we will now. There's an opportunity out there. Saturday Suckage, Wake and Bake Club, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Smoke weed every day.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can... I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh.
Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like... breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people got sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like, breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Calling to order this meeting of the Wake and Bake Club. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for joining me, Wake and Bakers. The WB Club is all about all things waking, baking, all things pot, including job opportunities. Some of you may remember when I brought up the, like, Ricky Williams, the guy for whom Mike Ditka traded his entire draft one year, who is studying to become a ganjier. He went to weed camp. He went there and he learned all about becoming a ganjier, an expert in pot. So here is something from the newsletter of the Marijuana Moment. It's a job opportunity. Listen up. It pays over 70 grand. Marijuana company specializing in manufacturing pre-rolled joints has launched a campaign to hire what it calls the, quote, ultimate stoner dream job, seeking a content creator who will, quote, get paid to smoke weed. Right? I saw all those hands just go up. Custom Cones USA announced on Monday it's hiring for the role with a new direct-to-customer brand called Day Savers, which produces rolling papers. The full-time social media creator and event marketer job will pay $70,420. See what they did there? $70,420. With perks, including cannabis product testing, and all expenses paid travel to marijuana events. Applications are being accepted now through, when would you guess? When would the cutoff be, Robbie?
I'm going to guess 420.
There you go. It would also be hiring part-time roles with similar responsibilities.
Smoke weed every day.
Get paid.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
We're sucking. Okay, maybe you saw Kacey Musgraves on SNL. And Kacey Musgraves, she's a country singer, wins Grammys. She's a friend of Willie Nelson, or at least was, until I saw this and heard this. She has a new tune called Deeper Well. She debuted it last Saturday on Saturday Night Live. Here are some of the opening lyrics.
I used to wake and bake, roll out of bed, hit the gravity bong that I made, and start the day. For a while it got me by, everything I did seemed better when I was high. I don't know.
And then she explains, because she talked about it in the past tense, she used to wake and bake, and everything felt better when she was high. So now she's found a deeper well, artist message here, She takes care of herself. The website Holler, H-O-L-L-E-R, offers this explanation about the verse in question. It's no secret. Musgraves has been an avid marijuana user throughout the years, as well as gone on, quote, guided trips with mushrooms, which she credits in helping her creative process. In the second verse, she talks about, they interpret this as, got her high for a while, not anymore. She's no longer a wake and baker. I don't know how you can become, remain an FOW. How can you remain a friend of Willie if you're not waking and baking? Robbie, did you know there's a sports story involving Willie Nelson? When he was late 70s, early 80s, he was Taylor Swift. Same ponytails, just always had a blunt with him. He was making hit records, rolling in money, and he found golf. You heard the story?
No, I haven't.
So you try to imagine that now and go, are you kidding me? Well, Willie found golf. Willie developed a passion for golf. Willie Nelson became a golfer. Willie Nelson had so much money that wasn't apparently not tied up in pot that he had so much money left over, he built his own golf course. He's got this massive ranch in Texas, and they usually hold, and there's an annual music festival there. It's all his friends. I think it's the Luck Ranch. Willie built a golf course so he could play. And in one of the prime opportunities any reporter has ever had, Sports Illustrated sent somebody out there. I believe it was Sports Illustrated. Sent somebody out and talked Willie. It probably wasn't hard. Willie, can I play a round of golf with you on your golf course? Well, how great an opportunity is that? So they did. And at some point, they get to a hole, and the reporter turns to Willie Nelson and says, what's par on this hole? As you would ask, when you get to a new hole, a course you're unfamiliar with, every golfer knows that. What's par? And Willie says, par is whatever I say it is. For instance, this hole here, it's a par 46. I birdied the sucker yesterday. Love that story.
That's genius.
That's Willie, yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. That's it for the Wake and Bake Club. There's a job opportunity out there. Look, 70 grand. If you can do social media, you get to test pie. You get to test weed. Get yourself a shot at climbing up to be one of the faces on Mount Cushmore, okay? Do that. It's called Custom Cones USA. And remember, you only have till 420. And if I read the schedule right, we're not on the air 420. The Wake and Bake Club is not on the air 420.
We got to amend that.
No, we just wake and bake and not have to worry about suckage. Take a break. When we come back, Chuck Swirsky, he will be here to talk about, oh my God, the Bulls are looking to sweep this trip out west. What the hell? We'll ask Chuck. Saturday Suckage, I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Smoke weed every day.
DeRozan to get up the line where he's 9-10. He's got 32, and the toss, it is up and good. 125, 122, Bulls by three. Paul in backcourt to Canona, slips and has to hoist up a 60-footer, and it's off the mark. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. And we are dancing, and I'm talking some serious dancing, in San Francisco, California.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Twerking Chuck Swirsky here on the radio right here. 670 The Score. Welcome in. Welcome back. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Saturday Suckage. That was Chuck then, and this is Chuck now. Joining me on the guest hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Chuck, I know in a couple hours you're going to be back on these very airwaves with the pregame show before the Bulls take on the Clippers. And it's a stunning, I don't know which is more unfathomable. They could go 4-0 on this trip, or they could also reach 500 for the first time since they were 2-2 in November. This is, what do you make of this? You've watched this. You have a handle on this?
Well, I do have a handle on it. Thank you very much, Steve. How you doing? Hope you're well. So here's my take. Number one, I think they've learned to play without LaVine, obviously. Number two is that you've got major players now on the Bulls core stepping up on a nightly basis. I mean, it's not like I'm playing two games and they're going to be really good and then a slippage for three or four games and then I'm going to play well or whatever. I mean, you look at Kobe White's efficiency over the last 2 months and you look at what DeRozan has given this club. I mean, DeRozan leads the NBA in minutes per game, and Kobe leads the NBA in total minutes, and they are bringing it every night. Vooch, very quietly, is having another great season. I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit whatsoever for being as gifted as he is in the post. And then on top of that, you got the emergence of Ayo Dosunmu, who, you know, had a difficult sophomore season, came back, and has really been an integral part of this ball club. And so, Steve, when you look at the pieces, and again, this is a situation where they're trying to incorporate some young players into the rotation, whether it's Phillips or Batum. I mean, they're getting it done. And as you mentioned, you know, win today, not only they go to 4-0, this is the first time they go to 2-2 since October 30th. And so, I they're three games out of the eighth slot right now in the Eastern Conference, and they still have yet to play Washington three times. They get Portland once, and you know, I'm thinking with their schedule, if they continue to play this way and stay healthy, who knows what we're going to see.
You know, Chuck, that's a dangerous game with the team you're calling, whose action you're calling, because you've seen it where you it's a palm-to-forehead game where you walk in and go, oh, this looks like a game where this was where these certain guys can get healthy, and this is a team that the Bulls can beat and yep, maybe even rout. And then it turns into a palm to forehead thing. We saw a couple with the Pistons, and wait, really? What is going on here? So I appreciate your optimism and the positivity, but it's a little scary going down that path, wondering how sustainable this is, and how sustainable do you think?
You're absolutely right. And maybe it's because of my joy for what I do, and I am an optimistic person by nature, and that's how I think. But realistically, you're right. And Steve, I mean, we've had a few of those games this year where you walk away saying, you got to be kidding me, really? But on the other hand, you know, these are NBA players, and even though you look at the big picture and say, well, you know, they're without three starters. Or like, for example, today, I mean, they've listed, as you know, Westbrook's out for another month with a broken hand. But, I mean, you're looking at the possibility of Leonard along with George and Harden not playing today. And maybe they'll get one player, maybe they'll get two, maybe they'll get none back. But you can't afford to look at the roster who's not playing. You've got to respect the players who are playing. And so, I mean, if I hate this cliche, but you got to take one game at a time, and you can't really focus on the week ahead. You got to take care of business today.
Actually, with this team, it changes quarter to quarter and minute by minute, it seems. And it, no, it does. And I don't know what to chalk it up to, because they can take a big lead and give it back. They can create a big deficit and climb back to it. And they certainly created a big deficit at 5-14. And like we were talking about, they can climb back to 500 today with a victory. It doesn't have to be this difficult. Not that it's not entertaining, because you love close games at the end, don't you? And Bill love that, but it doesn't have to be this difficult, does it? Or is this just the way?
Well, you know what, Steve? I'm going to disagree with you. I think it is difficult. I think it's very difficult to win, period, in any sport. I think as a fan, we sit back on a couch and we just watch a game and we just think, hey, you know, this is a game you should win, or this is something that, you know, is in the bag. And it's really not. It's very, very difficult to win a game. So then you look at, like, the Bulls are 15-10 against teams in the West, okay? I think we both agree the West is loaded again. And there's a couple reasons for that that we'll have to spend more time on it. But the only other team to win 15 games this season against the West is Boston. And, by the way, the Bulls, after a horrible start where they were 9 under .500, as we talked about, at 5-14, they have not had a losing month since November. So, I mean, it's not like you can eliminate, 24 games and say, well, I mean, let's start from scratch, because you can't. I mean, they dug themselves a hole. But if you look at the volume of play and what they've done without LaVine and Williams, who arguably you go in saying these are two starting players, they have managed to handle the adversity collectively with guys like Vooch and DeRozan, and then the growth of White and Dosunmu. And then you got Caruso, who's having another magnificent season. Not a great defensive season, Steve. He's having a magnificent first-team All-NBA defensive season. He leads the NBA in deflections per game. He's in the top three in total deflections. Loose balls, he's in the top five. I mean, you can't ask for much more, and he leads the Bulls in blocked shots. And so, I think the Bulls are at least, the needle is pointing up.
Chuck Sorsky is my guest. He calls the Bulls basketball games here on the Score radio station you're listening to. And in a couple hours, he will bring the pregame show of Bulls Clippers. He's joining me on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And he's the author of the book, Always a Pleasure, by Eckhart's Press. And I thought of the book because I saw the picture of you and Steph Curry this week before the Bulls played the Warriors. And, like, you might as well, but you were there when he was in the crib. I mean, talk about watching someone grow into a transcendent player. That must still, at some point, you're still gobsmacked by it, right? This was a little kid I saw.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Steve, I met him when he was 10 years young, and his younger brother, Seth, was 8. So their dad, Dell, played for the Raptors, and that's how I got to know the family. He would come out. His dad would come to the game 3 hours before the game. Raptors had a practice facility upstairs on the third floor. So Seth and Steph would come down on the real floor in Toronto, and they would come out early and dribble and shoot. And so, and I put this in the book, and it's a true story. Steph Curry not once has ever called me Chuck. It's always Mr. Swirsky. He would come out and say, Mr. Swirsky, can you raise your arms in the air, which I would do, two arms in the air. And, Steve, he would take a basketball, and he would shoot jump shots over my extended arms as a 10-year-old kid. And, I mean, he is an unbelievable person, and he doesn't big-time anyone. And every time we speak, which is unfortunately only twice a year, when the Bulls or the Raptors would play Golden State. But when we do speak, it's never about basketball, ever. The other night when I saw him prior to the game, we spoke for 5 minutes. Nothing was about basketball. It was about how you doing, how he's doing, your family. He and Aisha are expecting their fourth child. So, I mean, he is the real deal. And there is no, you know, phoniness about him at all. None.
That's terrific. That's true. You always want to, I've always told my kids, be leery about who you call your heroes and be leery about meeting them. It may not always live up to what you want, but so that's good. He's a hero to a lot of people. And I think it's terrific that he is that kind of as good a person as he was, as he is a ball player.
Yes.
And I have to ask about, I meant to do this when you were talking about Vooch earlier and the kind of year he's having, the kind of week he's having. Whether it was towels or basketballs, there was active frustration. And I don't know the source of it, and it may have been different each time, but it seemed there was a moment in a timeout or during each game where he was showing something, showing some emotion. He was whether it was a ball or a towel. So take the temperature of Vooch this week.
Well, how about taking the temperature of Vooch coming into the season. So he re-signs with the Bulls. And he was extremely frustrated the first month of the season. And I, for a couple of reasons, you know, the club got off to a bad start. There were times when the play should have been involving him at the high post and then rolling to the rim. And he would get on a nice little run for two or three shots, not see the ball again. This time, if you look at the advantages of what is happening here, with especially with Io is feeding him the ball. He is getting the ball now, and it's not disappearing when he gets three, four touches in a row. The other night against Golden State, they could not stop him. The same thing with Utah the other night, because number one, he's going up against players that I don't want to say inferior, but they just don't have the skill level to stop him deep in the paint in that semicircle. And Vooch's footwork is so underrated, the way he uses his pivot foot and the way he uses his shoulder on a curl. And I want to get too technical about this, Steve, so forgive me and our listeners, but all I can tell you is his post-game footwork is, without any question, a wonderful thing to see for somebody who is as skilled as he is and as long as he's been doing this. So now he's getting touches. And there was a play the other day in the Golden State game where Io Dosunmu did a dribble penetration just inside the foul line and did a pull-up, what appeared to be a pull-up jumper. And he hit Vooch, who was closer to the rim, open for just a second. And that ball went straight to Vooch and he laid it in. And to me, that really mirrors where this team is at, because now they don't really care about stats. They care about one thing and one thing alone, and then let's get a W and get out of here.
Chuck Swirsky is my guest. Before I let you go, Chuck, I want the audience to know not only are you a published author, but you are a bobblehead star. And people who want a Chuck Swirsky bobblehead and want it autographed have a chance to get it this Friday. Share the news with the class.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's going to be at the Windy City Bulls game at the Now Arena in Hoffman Estates, and I'll be there from 6 to 7:30, and proceeds will go to Chicago Bulls Charities, which is very near and dear to my heart, to assist children and families in need in the Chicagoland area. And it's a talking bobblehead with some of my, you know, cliches, I guess you want to say that, or just Bulls basketball terminology. And so come by, say hello. It'll be fun to see everyone. And again, all the proceeds, I'm not making 1 cent off this bobblehead. It's all going to charity.
We call them signature phrases, Chuck.
Yes, there you go.
Signature phrases. Chuck's signature phrases. And next year, I would suspect you will have a bobble legs doll, because you have to reflect the dancing, and I think that would be a unique approach.
Dancing.
And you could raise more money for everybody to get the whole, all your body parts that move, and the money goes to Bulls Charities. You should think about that. It's a good thing I'm so smart.
Steve, that, again, that's another story we can have for another day, how that originated. But it's gone viral, and so now I'm having head coaches in the league, assistant coaches, and, you know, they like to have a little bit of humor. You're not dancing tonight, Chuck. We're going to beat you. All this stuff. So, hey, you know what? It's all about fun. You know what? It's all about fun. And I love to have fun. And I love to celebrate. And it's about joy. You know what? I mean, Steve, think about this. I get to do what I wanted to do since I was a very little boy. And so I never take a game for granted. I never take a game off. I want to do all 82, and it's just fun, you know? And you got to have fun.
Choose happiness. Chuck did. Chuck continues to. We're lucky to have him on the air. I appreciate your time, Chuck.
All right, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck Swirsky, Bulls voice. You hear him on the score. You'll hear him in less than 2 hours. His pregame show, Bulls Clippers at 3 o'clock. Chuck's pregame show at 2:45. All right, we'll take a break. We can come back. God, I love career counsel. It's so refreshing to have a guy speak and not speak in embarrassing acronyms and all of that. Sorry, Southside. Sorry, Sox fans. But I love Craig Council. And the cultural zeitgeist this week in Kyle Long. That's part of it. And also music. There's always music. There's always music in the cultural zeitgeist. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckers. Thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
And I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
DeRozan to get up the line where he's 9-10. He's got 32, and the toss, it is up and good. 125, 122, Bulls by three. Paul in backcourt to Canonis, slips and has to hoist up a 60-footer, and it's off the mark. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. And we are dancing, and I'm talking some serious dancing, in San Francisco, California.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Twerking Chuck Swirsky here on the radio right here. 670 The Score. Welcome in. Welcome back. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, Saturday Suckage. That was Chuck then, and this is Chuck now. Joining me on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Chuck, I know in a couple hours you're going to be back on these very airwaves with the pregame show before the Bulls take on the Clippers. And it's a stunning, I don't know which is more unfathomable. They could go 4-0 on this trip, or they could also reach 500 for the first time since they were 2-2 in November. This is, what do you make of this? You've watched this. You have a handle on this?
Well, I do have a handle on it. Thank you very much, Steve. How you doing? Hope you're well. So here's my take. Number one, I think they've learned to play without LaVine, obviously. Number two is that you've got major players now on the Bulls core stepping up on a nightly basis. I mean, it's not like I'm playing two games and they're going to be really good and then a slippage for three or four games and then I'm going to play well or whatever. I mean, you look at Kobe White's efficiency over the last 2 months and you look at what DeRozan has given this club. I mean, DeRozan leads the NBA in minutes per game and Kobe leads the NBA in total minutes and they are bringing it every night. Vooch, very quietly, is having another great season. I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit whatsoever for being as gifted as he is in the post. And then on top of that, you got the emergence of Ayo Dosunmu, who, you know, had a difficult sophomore season, came back, and has really been an integral part of this ball club. And so, Steve, when you look at the pieces, and again, this is a situation where they're trying to incorporate some young players into the rotation, whether it's Phillips or Batine. I mean, they're getting it done. And as you mentioned, you know, win today, not only they go to 4-0, this is the first time they go to 2-2 since October 30th. And so, I you know, they're three games out of the eighth slot right now in the Eastern Conference, and they still have yet to play Washington three times. They get Portland once. And, you know, I'm thinking with their schedule, if they continue to play this way and stay healthy, who knows what we're going to see.
You know, Chuck, that's a dangerous game with the team you're calling, whose action you're calling, because you've seen it where it's a palm-to-forehead game where you walk in and go, oh, this looks like a game where this was where these certain guys can get healthy, and this is a team that, that the Bulls can beat and maybe even rout. And then it turns into a palm to forehead thing. We saw a couple with the Pistons, and what is going on here? So I appreciate your optimism and the positivity, but it's a little scary going down that path, wondering how sustainable this is, and how sustainable do you think?
You're absolutely right. And maybe it's because of my joy for what I do, and I am an optimistic person by nature, and that's how I think. But realistically, you're right. And Steve, I mean, we've had a few of those games this year where you walk away saying, you got to be kidding me, really? But on the other hand, you know, these are NBA players. And even though you look at the big picture and say, well, you know, they're without three starters. Or like, for example, today, I mean, they've listed, as you know, Westbrook's out for another month with a broken hand. But, I mean, you're looking at the possibility of Leonard along with George and Harden not playing today. And maybe they'll get one player, maybe they'll get two, maybe they'll get none back. But you can't afford to look at the roster who's not playing. You've got to respect the players who are playing. And so, I mean, if I hate this cliche, but you got to take one game at a time, and you can't really focus on the week ahead. You got to take care of business today.
Actually, with this team, it changes quarter to quarter and minute by minute, it seems. And it, no, it does. And I don't know what to chalk it up to, because they can take a big lead and give it back. They can create a big deficit and climb back to it. And they certainly created a big deficit at 5-14. And like we were talking about, they can climb back to 500 today with a victory. It doesn't have to be this difficult. Not that it's not entertaining, because you love close games at the end, don't you and Bill? Love that, but it doesn't have to be this difficult, does it? Or is this just the way?
Well, you know what, Steve? I'm going to disagree with you. I think it is difficult. I think it's very difficult to win, period, in any sport. I think as a fan, we sit back on a couch and we just watch a game and we just think, hey, you know, this is a game you should win, or this is something that, you know, is in the bag. And it's really not. It's very, very difficult to win a game. So then you look at, like, the Bulls are 15-10 against teams of the West, okay? I think we both agree the West is loaded again. And there's a couple reasons for that we'll have to spend more time on it. But the only other team to win 15 games this season against the West is Boston. And by the way, the Bulls, after a horrible start where they were 9 under .500, as we talked about, at 5-14, they have not had a losing month since November. So, I mean, it's not like you can eliminate, you know, 24 games and say, well, I mean, let's start from scratch, because you can't. I mean, they dug themselves a hole. But if you look at the volume of play and what they've done without LaVine and Williams, who arguably you go in saying these are two starting players, they have managed to handle the adversity collectively with guys like Vooch and DeRozan, and then the growth of White and Dosunmu. And then you got Caruso, who's having another magnificent season, not a great defensive season, Steve. He's having a magnificent first-team All-NBA defensive season. He leads the NBA in deflections per game. He's in the top three in total deflections. Loose balls, he's in the top five. I mean, you can't ask for much more, and he leads the Bulls in blocked shots. And so, I think the Bulls are at least, the needle is pointing up.
Chuck Sorcy is my guest. He calls the Bulls basketball games here on The Score radio station you're listening to. And in a couple hours, he will bring the pregame show of Bulls Clippers. He's joining me on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And he's the author of the book, Always a Pleasure, by Eckhart Press. And I thought of the book because I saw the picture of you and Steph Curry this week before the Bulls played the Warriors. And, like, you might as well, but you were there when he was in the crib. I mean, talk about watching someone grow and grow into a transcendent player. That must still, at some point, you're still gobsmacked by it, right? This was a little kid I saw.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Steve, I met him when he was 10 years young, and his younger brother, Seth, was 8. So their dad, Dell, played for the Raptors, and that's how I got to know the family. He would come out. His dad would come to the game 3 hours before the game. Raptors had a practice facility upstairs on the third floor. So Seth and Steph would come down on the real floor in Toronto, and they would come out early and dribble and shoot. And so, and I put this in the book, and it's a true story. Steph Curry, not once, has ever called me Chuck. It's always Mr. Swirsky. He would come out and say, Mr. Swirsky, can you raise your arms in the air, which I would do, two arms in the air. And Steve, he would take a basketball and he would shoot jump shots over my extended arms as a 10-year-old kid. And I mean, he is an unbelievable person and he doesn't big time anyone. And every time we speak, which is unfortunately only twice a year, when the Bulls or the Raptors would play Golden State. But when we do speak, it's never about basketball, ever. The other night when I saw him prior to the game, we spoke for 5 minutes. Nothing was about basketball. It was about how you doing, your family. He and Aisha are expecting their fourth child. So, I mean, he is the real deal. And there is no, you know, phoniness about him at all, none.
That's terrific. That's true. You always want to, I've always told my kids, be leery about who you call your heroes and be leery about meeting them. It may not always live up to what you want, but so that's good. He's a hero to a lot of people. And I think it's terrific that he is that kind of as good a person as he was, as he is a ball player.
Yes.
And I have to ask about, I meant to do this when you were talking about Vooch earlier and the kind of year he's having, the kind of week he's having. Whether it was towels or basketballs, there was active frustration. And I don't know the source of it, and it may have been different each time, but it seemed there was a moment in a timeout or during each game where he was showing something, showing some emotion. He was any whether it was a ball or a towel. So where is take the temperature of Vooch this week?
Well, I how about taking the temperature of Vooch coming into the season? So he re-signs with the Bulls, and he was extremely frustrated the first month of the season, and I for a couple of reasons, you know, the club got off to a bad start. There were times when the play should have been involving him at the high post and then rolling to the rim, and he would get on a nice little run for two or three shots, not see the ball again. This time, if you look at the advantages of what is happening here, with especially with Io is feeding him the ball. He is getting the ball now, and it's not disappearing when he gets 3-4 touches in a row. The other night against Golden State, they could not stop him. The same thing with Utah the other night, because, number one, he's going up against players that I don't want to say inferior, but they just don't have the skill level to stop him deep in the paint in that semicircle. And Vooch's footwork is so underrated. The way he uses his pivot foot and the way he uses his shoulder on a curl. And I want to get too technical about this, Steve, so forgive me and our listeners. But all I can tell you is his post-game footwork is, without any question, a wonderful thing to see for somebody who is as skilled as he is and as long as he's been doing this. So now he's getting touches. And there was a play the other day in the Golden State game where Ayo Dosunmu did a dribble penetration just inside the foul line and did a pull-up, what appeared to be a pull-up jumper. And he hit Vooch, who was closer to the rim, open for just a second. And that ball went straight to Vooch and he laid it in. And to me, that really mirrors where this team is at, because now they don't really care about stats. They care about one thing and one thing alone, and let's get a W and get out of here.
Chuck Swirsky is my guest. Before I let you go, Chuck, I want the audience to know not only are you a published author, but you are a bobblehead star. And people who want a Chuck Swirsky bobblehead and want it autographed have a chance to get it this Friday. Share the news with the class.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's going to be at the Windy City Bulls game at the Now Arena in Hoffman Estates, and I'll be there from 6 to 7:30, and proceeds will go to Chicago Bulls Charities, which is very near and dear to my heart, to assist children and families in need in the Chicagoland area. And it's a talking bobblehead with some of my, you know, cliches, I guess. Do you want to say that, or just Bulls basketball terminology? And so come by, say hello. It'll be fun to see everyone. And again, all the proceeds, I'm not making 1 cent off this bobblehead. It's all going to charity.
We call them signature phrases, Chuck.
Yes, there you go.
Signature phrases. Chuck, signature phrases. And next year, I would suspect you will have a bobble legs doll because you have to reflect the dancing. And I think that would be a unique approach.
Dancing.
And you could raise more money for everybody's get the whole, all your body parts that move, and the money goes to Bulls Charities. You should think about that. It's a good thing I'm so smart.
Yeah, you know, Steve, that, again, that's another story we can have for another day, how that originated. But it's gone viral, and so now I'm having head coaches in the league, assistant coaches, and, you know, they like to have a little bit of humor. You're not dancing tonight, Chuck. We're going to beat you, all this stuff. So, hey, you know what? It's all about fun. You know what? It's all about fun, and I love to have fun, and I love to celebrate, and it's about joy. You know what? I mean, Steve, think about this. I get to do what I wanted to do since I was a very little boy. And so I never take a game for granted. I never take a game off. I want to do all 82. And it's just fun, you know? And you got to have fun.
Choose happiness. Chuck did. Chuck continues to. We're lucky to have him on the air. I appreciate your time, Chuck.
All right, Steven. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck Swirsky. Bulls voice, you hear him on the score. You'll hear him in less than 2 hours, his pregame show, Bulls Clippers at 3 o'clock. Chuck's pregame show at 2:45. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, God, I love Craig Council. It's so refreshing to have a guy speak and not speak in embarrassing acronyms and all of that. Sorry, Southside. Sorry, Sox fans, but I love Craig Council, and the cultural zeitgeist this week in Kyle Long. That's part of it. And also, music. There's always music. There's always music in the cultural zeitgeist. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckers. Thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
And I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.